This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Iran celebrating, ready for this, nuclear day, as they celebrate enriching uranium to 60% danger levels.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast, and we've got breaking news. And it literally is breaking in the last hour if you're catching us live. If you're seeing us tape delayed, it'd be a couple hours ago. But you need to know this. So it's been reported now that Iran has begun 60% uranium enrichment. This is not according to just some miscellaneous reports. This is according to Iran's own nuclear. It's the individual that's in charge of nuclear negotiations. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. The individual in charge of nuclear negotiations is bragging that they've reached 60% uranium, 60% of the enrichment of the uranium. Here's the problem. 90%, it's a weapon. Let me tell you what the uses are at 60%. Getting ready to be a weapon. Under the so-called JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, it was not supposed to be over 5%. And the United States pulled out of that deal, but the European countries were still in it. And this tells you exactly what the Iranians are thinking about this the whole time. Now, we also know that there's been an attack on a nuclear facility. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's talk about this very serious situation as it relates to enrichment of uranium. Wes, from your experience in the military, as our military senior military analyst, what is this, the significance of this right now?
It's extremely significant because the reason that the JCPOA, as flawed as it was, limited them to 5% enriched uranium is because at 5%, that you can do all of your civilian power work, your medical research and tests, all of that is done at the 5% level. There is really no use for any uranium above 5% for civilian or medical power purposes. So 20% was concerning. And the other thing is that nuclear officials, including...
Well, 20% is concerning. What's 60%? Alarming.
Extremely alarming because Iran continues to claim this is for civilian use only. Nothing above 5% is required for civilian use. And yet they were at 20, now they're 60. They are still claiming this is for peaceful civilian use, and yet there is no purpose for uranium at that level. You can't even use uranium at that level for producing power or for medical tests. So it's completely implausible.
So, Andy, we've done trilateral negotiations between various government agencies and government representatives in the Middle East, and it is complex, no question. So the JCPOA was complex. We were concerned about it then, more concerned about it now. The Trump administration pulled out of it. Biden administration is dying to get back in it. While this is all going on, the Iranians are violating it.
Yeah, tri-level, multilateral, quadrilateral, pentilateral negotiations. We've done them all, Jay, in the Middle East in connection with the recognition of religious figures by Jordanians, Palestinians, Israelis, for example, and other negotiated deals. So they're very complex because with one moving piece, another piece, or two others move, two move, five move, and the difficulty and the complexity in the Middle East is beyond any area on the globe for making these negotiations. So jumping right back into the JCPOA, as President Biden has tried to do without realizing the implications that it has all over the Middle East, especially with respect to the Holy State of Israel, and what is happening there is a very dangerous move. This signals the moving to the enrichment of 60% signals an alarming change that we've got to be really cognizant of as we move forward.
We are filing tomorrow a brand new lawsuit, the American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of the State. The issue was John Kerry doing with negotiations with the Iranians during the Trump administration. I don't think he was an approved envoy. He was not an approved envoy. And while we were dealing with our policy, apparently he was dealing with his own. Well, that's what it looks like. We're going to find out. And that's why we filed this lawsuit. Your support of the ACLJ makes all that happen. ACLJ.org. Be part of the matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We got breaking news. So it is now reported, and it's being reported by Iran's chief nuclear negotiator. So it's coming from them, and it's being picked up by other news agencies now, that the Islamic Republic has begun 60% uranium enrichment. And this is according, again, to the chief nuclear negotiator. Now, there is no use for 60%. 5% was what the limitation was under the JCPOA, and that provides for medical utilization and things like that. Civilian use is what it would be called. This, it's 60% is on the way to 90%. And you know what happens at 90%? It's weapon-grade uranium. So let me first go to Harry Hutchison. There's a policy issue fundamentally here, and that policy issue is, why are we at the table with Iranians, or almost at the table with the Islamic Republic of Iran, when the sanctions were working and crippling their economy, and now they are acting like the bully of the Middle East?
Absolutely. So I think if you look at this from a rational, analytical perspective, there is no reason for the United States to resume negotiations with the Iranians. But it's important to keep in mind some background. Iran has always been pushing against a wide open door with respect to negotiations with Western powers. Iran has frequently sought to exploit the fecklessness of Western powers and their willingness to put Israel at risk. And so now Iran is prepared to engage in an unprecedented escalation by enriching uranium at 60%, and then it's a short jump to 90%. Iran has already broken through at 20%. And what has been the response of Western powers? Essentially, they have said, we don't give a fig about what is going on. And we are really incentivizing the Iranians to engage in additional actions, whether it's terrorist action or it's threatening Israel.
You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's nothing good coming out of this. If you look at the situation and you're looking at, Andy, a deal that was at 5%, they could enrich up to 5%, because there's use for medical use, nuclear medicine, power. Then it goes to 20% and set off global alarms. Now it's at 60%, which, as Wes said, there's no real use, correct?
No. And the other thing, last week I read a report by the Nuclear Arms Association in which they said at the 20% level, as opposed to 5%, that the breakout time, the time they can go from today to a bomb, had dropped to a matter of months. That was at 20%. Now it's going to 60%. I mean, the breakout time is getting shorter and shorter for a while.
And this is, Andy, while they're in negotiations now, at least indirect negotiations through agencies, parties, with the United States.
Yeah, Jay. Well, they have no respect for the Western powers. They, since President Trump is gone, in my view, they have no respect for the United States. This announcement, let's be clear about it. This announcement of an increase to 60% enrichment of uranium was not made during the Trump administration. It was made during the Biden administration, and it's a test. It's just to see how far Joe Biden is going to go. And the response from Washington has been lukewarm to nothing. We're going to still open the door to negotiations. You cannot negotiate with the government of Iran. These are not negotiable people. These are terrorists. They would never have done this under President Trump. They would not have dared to do this because they know that the iron fist of the United States would have come down. But now they do it with impunity. And so who has to come to the rescue? Israel.
Yeah,
well, that's a sad state of affairs.
We're going to get into that, but I wanted to go to Fan Bennett first in Washington, D.C., and get the congressional reaction to this and what people are saying. I mean, this obviously just broke.
Well, Andy's right when he talks about the Washington response, Jay. I mean, look, the basic truth is the goal of the JCPOA was never to prevent a nuclear weapon. And the evidence of that, Jay, is that it always had an expiration date inside of a decade. So even if you believed everything the Obama administration said about the deal, it would have expired after a decade. And the kind of enrichment we're talking about today would have been permissible. Iran never intended to wait for that expiration. But, Jay, I will tell you this. I mean, the Biden administration clearly has every interest in rushing back into the deal. But I want to point you to the United States Senate as well. Today, they are set to invoke cloture on the lead negotiator of the original Iran deal, Wendy Sherman. Tomorrow, they're expected to confirm her as the Deputy Secretary of State. So, Jay, the President, Biden administration, and the Democrat-led United States Senate, Jay, they're all in on this.
Yeah, well, if you go back to the same people that got you in the mess in the first place, Colonel Smith, you're going to end up with the same lousy result.
Absolutely. And it's the height of naivete to think that whatever agreements they might come up with, any type of new JCPOA, it's the height of naivete to think that Iran is going to be faithful and keep the promises. They have a long history, even since 2015 when this was signed, of cheating and lying and not keeping their word. So why would we think that's going to change now? The other thing, Jay, that makes this even more alarming, for the last 5 or 6 years, Iran has been violating UN resolutions that forbid them from the research and development of ballistic missiles. They have always ignored that with impunity, so that when you take their capability of producing a bomb in a matter of months and combine that with their ballistic missile program, which is highly advanced now, and they have a larger missile arsenal than any country in the Middle East, including Israel, you take that missile technology and the nuclear weapon idea, it is extremely grave and alarming.
We have filed, or are filing tomorrow, actually, a new federal lawsuit against the State Department. This time, let me just give you briefly, and we're talking about this in the second half of the program. We're requesting all records pertaining to the Department of State's knowledge and efforts surrounding the current government officials, like John Kerry, former Secretary of State, conducted shadow diplomacy with Iran and its surrogates, or even advancing pro-Iranian causes, all while these officials were not members or representatives of the United States government. We're also asking for background addressing the subject, time frame, names of individuals involved, contact information, reason why these people were involved in basically engaging in activities not sanctioned by the government on foreign policy. And he said, I don't think he was a registered agent, Foreign Agent Registration Act of the Iranian government. But now you've got it reported that the Iranians have enriched uranium, according to their own negotiator, bragging about this as nuclear, the 15th anniversary of Nuclear Day. And they're bragging about it, Harry, that they're at 60%. 90%, of course, is basically the point of no return. At 90%, you have a weapon. At 5%, you've got civilian capability uses for it, medicine, power, energy. At 60%, all you're doing is stepping it up to get to 90%.
Absolutely. So Iranian misbehavior has always been met by meaningless babble by Democrats. And that is clearly the case with respect to the Biden administration. and the Biden administration is filled with a large number of Iranian and Chinese apologists. And now the Biden administration has called back into a power John Kerry, who engaged, arguably, in misbehavior during the prior administration by engaging in shadow diplomacy with Iran. The question becomes, why are all of these individuals associated with the Biden administration so willing to cave into the demands of the Iranians? It makes little sense.
None.
Unless these individuals are motivated by one thing, that is to weaken the nation state of Israel.
Andy, we've got right now, we are preparing, I know you've reviewed it, we're filing tomorrow a federal lawsuit against the State Department. Now, this lawsuit will allow us to find out what kind of shadow diplomacy was going on, because something was going on here, and it's obvious now with them bragging about their 60% while they're trying to get back in a deal, something was happening during the previous administration that was not authorized by that administration.
That's exactly right, Jay. We made a FOIA request. We got a reply that was insufficient, totally insufficient, redacted documents saying that they didn't have anything, that they, of course they have something. So we did what we usually do in these cases. We go to the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, and we file a lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act demanding to know exactly what these shadow diplomacy negotiations with John Kerry and so forth are, and we intend to find out. We litigate these cases, we send our lawyers out, we find out who it is, we find out what the facts are, we insist and persist in doing this, and we've done this all along in our FOIA litigation. Think we're not on it? As Jordan says, we're on it.
Yeah, we are on it. And Fan, is there a coalition in the Senate that understands the significance of what's going on here when it gets to 60%?
There's a coalition, Jay, but it's got to be built. That's part of the reason we're looking for this information. And look, one of the things we're going to ask here is, was John Kerry telling Iran, Jay, was he telling them to bide their time? That's what it looks like to me.
It does look like that. No, you're right. It does. It has all appearances of that. That they're saying, just hang on for 4 years or 36 months or however they phrase it. Persians are patient people. And we'll get this fixed. And then what the fix is now they're at 60%, 90% as a weapon. Now, the Israelis took some action. We'll talk about that in the second half hour of the broadcast. Coming up, Rick Grinnell's joining us. But your support of the ACLJ not only keeps this broadcast on the air, all the people you see in the six or seven back in the control room you don't, and the social media teams and lawyers engaged throughout the world, but also lets us go to court to find out for you what's going on. Join that matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So yesterday it was court packing the Biden election, their Supreme Court commission. If that's not nerve wracking enough for you, and then today it's the Iranians are at 60% uranium. Oh, I guess it was supposed to be 5% under the JCPOA. But don't worry, because the Biden administration will be happy to announce and release our and I'm happy to say that senior advisor Rick Grenell, former acting director of national intelligence, ambassador to Germany. No problem releasing Rick's emails when there is a FOIA request. Meanwhile, Rick, we've got to go to federal court on almost. I don't think there's been one we haven't had to go to federal court. And yours, the FOIA people and DNI say, okay, here they are.
Look, on a personal note, I hope that all of our listeners decide to give to this lawsuit, because, as a reminder, my unclassified emails were asked to be released by a reporter, and the Biden administration under Avril Haines immediately complied, gave up everything. I haven't even been gone a year, and they released all of my unclassified emails. There's just two standards for FOIA requests. When a Republican asks, it goes into this black hole of negotiation, and you get nothing for 5, 6, 7 years until the issue passes. And when the Democrats ask, they immediately release this information. Now, this is ridiculous. This is the ways of Washington. But I the good news, Jay, is there's nothing in those.
Of course,
and
not.
It was released, and all we heard was a big thud.
Yeah, you know what though? So, it is, Rick. They have. You said it. They operate under two systems. Because let me tell you two words we do not have in our FOIA practice. The words "immediately released" is never a word we hear.
Well, now we have them picking a fight with me, and I happen to be a senior fellow with a senior advisor to ACLJ. So I think, what we need to do is launch a sort of a lawsuit against them in a FOIA request to say, wait a minute, what's the standards? What were the standards that you used? And by the way, why don't we request all of Avril Haines right now? Let's ask to have the same standard applied that they applied to me. Let's release all of her unclassified emails. I'd like to know the process that she went through to repackage.
That's what I want to know.
Khashoggi report.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. So this is I'm very serious about this. I said this in our pre-meeting, and I know Rick, you were in correspondence with some of our people. We would like to file that very lawsuit. I want to know, A, what was the process in which they decided that your emails as the acting director of national intelligence could just be released? Maybe they've got a reason. We'll see. But it's certainly a double standard. And number two, in that same one, let's ask for your predecessor now, your successors. Let's ask for their non-classified emails and see what kind of response we get. I can imagine. Because then we can really show the double standard. But that's why you're going to, I guarantee you, we will be in federal court on that one.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Hashtag, let's use the same standard.
Yeah,
right?
Let's use the same standard. There you go. I'm not so good at the whole hashtag thing because I don't know the whole, is it Twitterer? I'm not, we do Twitter, but there are people that help me. Let me just say it that way. All right. We're going to do that. This is serious, folks. It's a double standard. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We just filed one today. I was just telling our team here, we could file a new lawsuit every day, every single day.
We have to have money. We have to have the support to do it, because I will say this. The only way that we can make progress now is through courts and through filing some sort of action that allows us to be treated the same. And these court opinions, these filings actually work. And so I hope people will support us and all of the work of ACLJ, and let's move forward.
Yeah, folks, that's a good reason for me to talk right now about this matching challenge campaign. You realize any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're going to get a matching gift for it. And it allows us to not just bring you these broadcasts or have Rick as part of our team, but to actually litigate these issues. And we're going to do that. Now, at the same time, Rick, there's a group of 18 Republican senators on Tuesday wrote to the FBI director, Chris Wray, and they are seeking information and investigation into President Biden's nominee for undersecretary at the Department of Defense, Colin Kael. And there's some concern that information that he should not have been publicly talking about was being publicly talked about, which ties in, by the way, to what we're the lawsuit we're filing tomorrow on John Kerry to find out what he was doing during the Trump administration. But on this one right now with the Undersecretary of Defense, what's your sense of this?
Look, this is yet another case of a double standard on leaking and undermining the administration from the other party. I mean, we know that John Kerry was running shadow diplomacy on Iran. Yep. We know that that's a fact. But now what we're seeing are people like Colin Call, who had leaks given to him, classified information leaks, and he was publicly using it to make points and embarrass and to push the policy in the most dramatic and erroneous way possible. And so there are a group of senators now. I mean, we hardly get 13 senators together, 13 Republican senators on anything. And they have signed a letter saying, we want an investigation of whether or not this information was leaked. We had an epidemic of leaking during the Trump administration. And President Trump was frustrated that people weren't being prosecuted.
Oh, I believe it. I know.
This is a problem, and I think they've got one now. I think they now see the pattern of the leaks, and I think it's right for the GOP senators to not let go of this one.
So the group now is up to 18. So there's 18 U.S. senators now. Yeah. So I was going to ask this to Colonel Wes Smith. You handle classified documentation. There's no like wiggle room on releasing that.
Oh, absolutely not, especially at this level. You know, I was reading through some of the reports about this gentleman. I mean, he is going to members of the National Security Council under President Trump's administration, querying them, says he's getting answers, and then tweets the information that he got that he says is from four people who at that time were on the NSC. I mean, this is pretty incredible stuff. One of the most sacred things, and Rick knows this as well, when you have classified information, it doesn't matter how important or unimportant it might seem. That is sort of a sacred trust.
Yep.
You absolutely do not share that to anyone who does not have a clearance and a need to know. And I'm sorry, I don't think Twitter has either a clearance or a need to know.
No, let me ask you this, Rick. We've got just about a minute left, and that's this. Iran is up to 60, but their negotiators saying they're up to 60% in their centrifuge uranium enrichment programs. You were the ambassador to Germany. Germany has been a big financial partner with Iran on finances here. What would be the reaction of, I would think they would be outraged, but I don't get that. I don't see that.
Well, the Europeans have said publicly multiple times and in written form that they are with us on trying to reach the goal of denying Iran a nuclear weapon. That's been clear. We've always said that we have different tactics on how to get there. Well, this is now evidence that the Europeans should be very upset that for the last several years, big surprise, Iran has been lying to us about centrifuges and enrichment. Two issues of incredible concern.
Yep.
Now, I'd like to know, did John Kerry know that they were doing this? Was there a shadow campaign? And lastly, our U.S. ambassador to the U.N. should be calling an emergency Security Council meeting today on this news.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Rick Grinnell, senior advisor to the ACLJ, especially on international affairs and national security. Folks, you heard it from Rick. I'm going to say it again. Your support of the ACLJ is critical. Not only keeps us on the air, but allows us to have people like Rick Grinnell as part of our team and allows us to go to court representing your interest. Members of the ACLJ, to get to the truth. Support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Thanks a lot, Rick, for being with us. As always, appreciate your work.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, we've got a lot of breaking news going on. It was reported this morning by Iran's chief nuclear negotiator that their uranium enrichment, which under the JCPOA, that's the Iran agreement, was supposed to be at 5%. That's for medical use, generating power. Was the reports months ago, a couple months ago, that it was 20%, which sent off alarm bells. Well, now you're at a 5 alarm because their negotiator's saying they're at 60%. Okay, that's what their negotiator's saying. 90% enrichment of that uranium is weapon grade. Now, we just had Rick Grenell on. His successor in office just minutes ago, released, while this is all going on, this is how bad they want to do a deal with the Iranian regime, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Again, it's nothing against the Persian people, the Iranian people. It's against their leadership. They want a deal so bad that the Office of DNI, while the chief Iran's negotiator saying they're at 60%, says what, Wes?
The Associated Press, 25 minutes ago, released a report from ODNI. It was actually written last week, but released by ODNI this morning, that says they believe that Iran is not seeking a nuclear weapon. It says, I quote, "We continue to assess that Iran is not currently undertaking the key nuclear weapons development activities that we judge would be necessary to produce a nuclear device."
How long would it take them to go from 60% to 90%?
That's a good question. I was looking that up. I know at 90% it's weapons grade. They went apparently fairly quickly from 20 to 60, but I don't know. We need to find that out.
You talk about negotiating with your hands tied behind your back, Andy. I mean, why would our government come? There's reports, again, alleged reports. There was an attack on the Natanz nuclear site, which is their big nuclear site. The reports that it was conducted by the Israelis. The Israelis have done that before to stop the ability of Iran to get material that would be weapons grade. But why would you have your Office of DNI when today they're celebrating Nuclear Day? It's the 15th anniversary with music videos in Iran. Why in the world? This is my view. Why in the world would you put in place a statement coming out of your Office of Director of National Intelligence saying, I know there's all these reports about 60% and 90% is weapon grade, but we don't think they're going there. I mean, that's just ridiculous negotiating, first of all.
Well, it's negotiating that is laughable, and it's negotiating that the Middle East would laugh at the United States at the naivete that we have and that we've expressed. You and I have negotiated deals in the Middle East. Okay, Jay, what they do is they laugh at Americans being so naive and so stupid as to think that the Americans are going to come to the table, just keep pushing them. We've gone from 5 to 20 to 60% enrichment, we'll be at 90% weapons grade, and you turn around and the United States is saying, oh, we want to come to the table, we want to talk to you. What are you talking about? What are you doing? What kind of negotiators are you using? What kind of naivete have you exhibited? What kind of foolishness is this? The Iranians and the Middle Easterners generally are laughing at us, Jay, because we are falling into the hands of what the Iranians want us to do, and that is come to the table again with this deal so they can shove it in our face again as they did.
Friends, it is nine-dimensional chess when you are negotiating in the Middle East. You got to be thinking nine steps, nine dimensions, because like Andy says, you move two steps and then there's two more. I mean, it's very, very complex. But then what I'm worried about right now, I'm very worried about this, is that the Biden administration is going to ramrod something through with Iran.
You should be worried about it, Jay. And the reason that Iran is laughing at the Biden administration and all the others, because they're putting the same exact people in place that negotiated this deal in the first place. So Iran has every confidence that they can laugh at us and get away with us because the Senate, as we sit, Jay, sits to confirm, again, the lead negotiator of the JCPOA, Wendy Sherman. They're set to do it tonight, Jay. They're going to get the same people. They'll get the same results.
I'm going to tell you, Fenn's right. You put the same people in there, guess what you're getting? This is not rockets. This is not nuclear physics. You put the same people in there, you're going to get the same lousy result, which is what we're staring at. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back and comments. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The ACLJ in court on this Iran situation. Your support and our matching challenge makes that happen.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. We do have breaking news, and that is Iran, which is supposed to be limiting its uranium enrichment program to 5% under the JCPOA, which the United States pulled out of because they were never going to follow it, which they didn't. Europeans are still in it. They still aren't following it, the Iranians. It was at 20%, alarm bells went off. In fact, at 20%, an EU spokesperson said, "We strongly urge Iran to stop and reverse all activities inconsistent with its commitments. We're in contact with other JCPOA participants regarding next steps under the terms of the JCPOA, including a joint commission," another joint commission. That'll get you a lot. Meanwhile, that was a couple months ago. Now, they're at 60%. And the Supreme Leader in February says this: "We are determined to develop our nuclear capabilities in line with the needs of the country. For this reason, Iran's enrichment will not be limited to 20%, obviously not, because it's already at 60, and we will take whatever action is necessary for the country." Sounds like a policy move by the Iranians to me, Harry.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we should reemphasize is that the United States and the Western powers, they are, if you will, co-conspirators in expanding Iranian aggression. So Iran is enriching its uranium to 60% at least, and possibly on the road to 90% within a few months. And guess what? That is met by silence. And so I think if we go back to what Wesley pointed out earlier, that the DNI is basically saying that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapon when all the evidence points in the opposite direction. What are we talking about? We are talking about willful blindness with respect to the United States Intelligence Service. And I think at the end of the day, we have decided to be blind to Iranian aggression, just like we are still blind to the terrorism committed by the Palestinian Authority.
I'll tell you this, and this is true. We'll take some calls at 1-800-684-3110. But, you know, Andy, I'm thinking about this, and because we've been in, obviously, different topics. But you know how those negotiations work over there. And this, like I said, it's nine-dimensional chess. But here you have the chief negotiator for Iran's nuclear program saying, we're already at 60%. So he's acknowledging we violated the agreement. The agreement's been violated. So then what is the point of negotiating? Why are we at the table? Why are we not back at crippling sanctions, which were actually working?
There is no good reason why we are not back at that point, Jay. They're laughing at us and making fools of, we are making fools of ourselves in the eyes of the Middle Easterners. You and I know the Middle Eastern mentality, Jay. The Middle Eastern mentality is one of power and strength and determination, okay? If you don't show that, if you don't show power and strength and determination, then your adversary, in this case, Iran, laughs at you and mocks you and pushes you to the end of the table as they have with this enrichment, 60% that they have announced today, and songs and banners and 15th anniversary and laughing at us because they know that the Biden administration is feckless, to use Harry Hutchinson's favorite word, and won't do anything about it. Instead, we send the nuclear negotiator back again, going to be confirmed tonight, who got us into the deal to begin with. So we're back in the Obama days. We've come full circle.
Yeah, 100%. This is, listen, this is a, you put the same people in the same situation, you're going to get the same result. Let's go to Rogers calling from Oregon on line one. By the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Roger?
Hi, Jay. My original question was, concerning how long it would take to get from 60% to 90%, but you guys have kind of bandied that one back and forth.
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish. We don't have a definitive answer on that yet, right, Wes?
However, today Iran announced they were installing 1,000 new modern centrifuges, and the centrifuges is how you enrich. So by 1,000 more centrifuges being announced today, they are moving well on the way towards 90%.
This is some negotiating posture, but go ahead, Roger.
So my follow-up then, Jay, would be, okay, so they're marching towards 90% weapons grade. So the question is then, once they get there, how long would it take to actually produce a nuclear weapon?
We don't know the answer to that.
Well, actually, what the IAEA and some other nuclear experts said recently in recent months, that when they went from 5% to 20%, the breakout time, the time to actually build a nuclear weapon, dropped from about a year and a half to several months. That was at 20%. So it's alarmingly more quickly, I would think, at this point.
So let me appreciate your call. We're taking your phone. How do you feel about this, by the way? 1-800-684-3110. And the administration's putting us right back smack dab in the middle of it again with the same people that negotiated a failed deal doing it again. Right now. Doing it again. 1-800-684-3110. And then we've got a lawsuit that we're filing tomorrow to find out what was going on during the previous administration when President Trump was in there with John Kerry and these, what appears to be maybe some shadow diplomacy going on. We're going to find out what the State Department knew about it, what information was out there, because, you know, there are people that act within those agencies that are careerist that don't always follow the initiatives and directives of the leadership and then the then president. So we're going to find out what was going on there now. And it looks like, Than, from my view, that we just cannot say we filed a lawsuit. Congress needs to be looking at this. They don't have to. It's not a treaty, so it doesn't call for the treaty authorizations under the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, the Senate kind of self-sabotaged them on that, Jay. Back when the initial deal was passed, they passed the Iranian Nuclear Review Act, which really abdicated their ability to confirm it. And look, I hold several Republicans responsible for joining Democrats in that effort. But, Jay, part of the reason we're filing this FOIA request is you're exactly right. The top line people are going to get a lot of attention, the John Kerry's of the world, the Wendy Shermans of the world. But, Jay, we want to know who inside these agencies, when this shadow diplomacy was happening, Jay, who enabled it? Because, look, the only way America can be strong across the world is if we speak with one voice. We have one president at a time, one foreign policy at a time. And if John Kerry was engaging in shadow diplomacy that now allows for this nuclear breakout we're seeing from Iran, Jay, we want to know not only who inside the bureaucracy helped him then, who among them, Jay, is still there? Who is still there with the job and the responsibility and the sacred oath granted by the American people? We want to find that out, and that's one of the aims of this FOIA.
You know, Andy, I said this earlier today when Rick Rennell was on, our senior advisor on national security, former office of director of national intelligence under President Trump. I said this to him. It's like a lawsuit a day. I mean, you think about this. I mean, we'll make sure we're staffed up for this because we got to get on top of these situations to find out what is going on. It's the only way – you're going to keep at least some checks and balances in place here, is to at least get the information. And that's why going to court, which is unfortunately necessary, is what we're going to have to do.
But that's what we do, Jay. That's what we do every single day in filing these FOIA requests and making these government agencies comply with what the statutory requirements are, and that is disclosure to the public of the information. I believe in my mind that there was shadow diplomacy going on by John Kerry. I think he was telling the Iranians, take your time, bide your time. It's all going to work out. We're going to be back in power again. We'll cut the deal. We'll be back at the table with you. And the Iranians did exactly that, bided their time. Now they're thumping their chest. But we're going to court and we're going to find out exactly what happened, because we are not deterred at the ACLJ in doing this. We know how to draft a complaint. We know where the clerk's office is. We know where the courthouse is. We have filed FOIA lawsuits before. We know how to litigate them. We know how to go before judges and make demands. And the judges usually rule in our behalf because they know that that's the right thing to do. And that's what we are pursuing.
I mean, it's a have to. I'll tell you something else we're looking at right now. I mean, we're looking at election integrity issues. We're looking at the Iran nuclear deal. We're looking at this commission on the Supreme Court. We've got lawsuits filed involving China's influence in the Congress. I mean, all of this is happening. Than, I think it'd be helpful for you to give just a quick, you know, kind of overview of what it's like in your office with Ben and our other team members working on this. Is serious stuff.
Yeah, constant communication with both members, sides of the Hill, Jay, the House and the Senate, because look, one of the things that this our FOIA practice dovetails with members of Congress, we talked with Rick about how a lot of this information that we get back is heavily redacted. Well, Jay, a lot of the redactions that they can give to us, they can't give to Congress. So we talk to Congress and we say, look, we got this information that looks very problematic. You need to go back to the agency and request the unredacted version. And I'll tell you, Jay, there's actually a hearing coming up in the United States Senate on the Planned Parenthood issue, and they're wrongly accessing Paycheck Protection Program funding. There's going to be a hearing next week in the United States Senate, and there are going to be senators asking exactly that. They're going to look at our letters that we got in that production, and they're going to ask the Small Business Administration, show us the unredacted letters, because we think that that's where the information is. So, Jay, yep, that's one of the day-to-days here in D.C. We compare our information with what Congress can get.
All right, folks, your support of the ACLJ makes all of this possible, and we want to encourage you to go to aclj.org, participate in our matching challenge campaign. When we come back, we take your phone calls and comments. Get your comments in on Facebook or other social media platforms you're using, YouTube. And again, if you want to call us with your question, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be back with more, including your comments, in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Great question coming in from Pauline on Facebook. Please, from Scott on YouTube. Good one from Pauline, too. We'll get to that in a moment. Scott on YouTube says, so Iran gets the bomb. Who is second? We know it will create a nuclear arms race. Listen, the region will be, it will be on fire, Wes.
Absolutely. And some of our...
Iran with a nuclear weapon?
Yeah. Some of our Arab allies have already indicated that if Iran becomes a country with a nuclear weapon, out of their own sense of survival, they will also pursue a nuclear weapon. Yep. And as I was telling Harry during the break, for Israel, this is not a matter of international diplomacy or trade or commerce or selling Iranian oil. For Israel, this is a matter of survival as to whether or not Iran gets a nuclear weapon.
Yep, but we're going to go right to the phones. Lois is calling on line two. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I just like a make a comment. I think the whole reason that Iran is so bold is because of their being backed by the Chinese Communist Party, both in advice and support.
Yeah, and including trade. We did a whole program dealing with Iran, and we dealt with Russia, Iran, Syria, and one of the papers also in this also was involving the what's called the Silk Road of China, which was the trade routes, Andy, of China. And those trade routes go right to Iran.
That's right, Jay. And those trade routes are ancient. The Silk Road going from what was Persia to Imperial China is not anything new. And what they're simply doing is reviving it right now. The Chinese are making deals with the Iranians. They're making deals all over the world. And they're bolstering up the Iranian economy with their economy. And this is exactly what is happening. And by us, the United States, taking this weak position with respect to Iran, you're indirectly bolstering up the Chinese.
No, it's not a question about it. So this is as old as history. I mean, it really is. Warren's calling from Idaho on line one. Warren, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jay, thank you guys for taking my call. And my comment is on this Iran thing, too. You know, we're not okay with them getting enrichment and us joining that agreement because we know they're going to use a nuclear weapon against Israel and our American soldiers over there. It's pretty much a guarantee.
Listen, Iran with the... Wes, I think this is coming from you with a military background. So as a colonel and retired in the United States Army, Iran, and I want to ask this from a policy standpoint to Harry, because what does it do to the region? Iran with a nuclear weapon? I mean, Israel's not going to allow it.
No.
They will not allow it.
No, and the hardline religious leaders in Iran, unlike some other countries, for example, North Korea, are not rational all the time. And as I said earlier, for Israel, this is a matter of survival. It really is. And if you look at what is about to happen, unless the international community takes some real strong, brave action, the world's most dangerous weapon will be in the hands of the world's most dangerous country.
And say that again. I think it's very important for people to understand what Wes just said.
Yeah, the world's most dangerous weapon will be in the hands of the world's most dangerous country if they succeed in the pursuit of a nuclear weapon.
And Harry, what does that do to the region?
Well, I think it leads to instability. I think within the parameters of Middle East policy, a given policy can do one of two things. It can lead to either chaos or it can lead to shalom. And I think the Biden administration has opted for chaos. Why? Because they were somehow impressed with the unimpressive policies of the Obama administration. Those policies were disastrous. And so now the Biden administration essentially is prepared to cave to China, Iran, and the Palestinians and empower them. And that will lead to greater instability in the region. And I think Wesley's precisely correct. What's at stake here is the very survival of Israel, and I think Israel will have to take action in the future if the Biden administration continues down this messy road.
Look, we know Israel. We know that there's politics there, too, like there are in the United States, and there's all kind of things going on right now with their political situation. But let me tell you where there's unity. The Israeli people and the Israeli government of all parties are not going to allow, I do not believe, Andy, for one moment, that the Israeli institutions, military, intelligence, government, soldiers and citizenry are going to allow for a nuclear weapon in the hands of the Ayatollah?
No, they will not. That is not going to happen, because if everybody will put down their arms, there will be peace. But if Israel puts down their arms, it will be obliterated because it is surrounded by enemies. And I said earlier, the Holy State of Israel, and I repeat that again. What is sad, Jay, is that the Israelis have to do the dirty work of the Americans, who are gutless, who are sending back the same gutless negotiators that they had under the Obama administration, who instead of decrying the raising of the enrichment to 60% today, I haven't heard Biden say that that was a terrible, horrible thing and that we're against it and that we decry that and deplore it. Have you heard anything come out of Washington today or from Jen Psaki? Not a word. But Israel has to do America's dirty work. Pretty sad.
So, Than, has there been, I mean, you're up there, so has anything developed in the last couple of hours that we need to know about this from the Biden administration, or are they doing their ignore it and continue their having their office of director of national intelligence saying, oh, they're not getting a weapon?
It's the opposite, Jay. I mean, the policy of this administration is appeasement and leveling the playing field in the Middle East. Look, we know exactly what's going to happen here. Israel's going to push back. The question is, will Israel's most important ally in the world, the United States of America, will we be there for her? That's the question, Jay.
You know, I think that the reality is, and I think we got to be cognizant of this is an Iranian power play, and it's a big Iranian power play. And it is because the United States is not showing force and not showing strength, that they're bragging with their own nuclear negotiator that they're at 60%. There is no news for 60% in uranium enrichment, except for one thing, to get it to 90%. And at 90%, well, then there's a use. It's called a weapon. And from a policy perspective, Harry, I would think that in and of itself would be enough to say no.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the real question for the Biden administration going forward, not simply with respect to Iran, is whether the Biden administration fundamentally believes that you can achieve peace through strength or peace through weakness. I think we all know the answer to that particular question. Similar questions are now being raised with respect to our policy with respect to Taiwan, whether or not the United States will step up and protect Taiwan from China. And I think at the end of the day, Israel will have to take action. Yep. Because the United States prefers to be willfully blind.
The propaganda machine in Iran right now, led by the Ayatollahs and the other clerics right now, they produced a music video. I'm not kidding you. Celebrating Nuclear Day. I'm just going to play a few seconds of this. Our audience is watching on our social media platforms, the TV can see it, but our radio audience, you'll hear it. This is what it is. So imagine, keep playing this under me. Imagine as this music is playing and there's the visual on the screen are a bunch of scientists in white coats holding up pictures of the Iranian clerical leadership in front of a nuclear facility celebrating Nuclear Day. That's why you're American Center for Law and Justice. Front and center on the issue, not just with incredible analysis, which you got today, but with the ability to go to court to find out what was going on and why was there an undercutting of the previous administration. We are filing the lawsuit involving Iran tomorrow in federal court. Your support for the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign allows us to do it. If you have not done so, let me encourage you, this is the day to do it. We're filing one on Rick Grenell's behalf too. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.